Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. We are located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here with me for a Wednesday, September 29th, 2021. This is edition number 83 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are currently working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We're still dealing with issues related to the seventh commandment. Today we're going to take up question number 72 of the Shorter Catechism. But let's pray first, and then we'll briefly look at this question and answer. Our God in heaven, as we come before you to learn from you and to hear from your word, we would pray that you would help us and instruct us, that you would give us your grace, that you would minister to us by your Spirit, that he would teach us and illumine our minds and our hearts to these truths. We pray that you'd help us, that you'd remember your promises to us, to guide us and direct us, for your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, we are in question number 72 of the Shorter Catechism, which reads, what is forbidden in the seventh commandment? The answer is, the seventh commandment forbiddeth all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. Now, as we have done in the past with the question and answers from the Shorter Catechism related to the moral law, we are going to do the same. We're going to first just briefly look at the summary statement given by the Shorter Catechism, and then in the days to come, we'll look more deeply at some of the specific statements made by the Larger Catechism, which is Larger Catechism question 139. I'm just going to read that for now. I'm not going to make any comments. And then I'll come back to the Shorter Catechism and just refer to a couple passages of God's Word. But question 139 reads, what are the sins forbidden in the seventh commandment? And the answer is that the sins forbidden in the seventh commandment, besides the neglect of the duties required, are adultery, fornication, rape, incest, sodomy, and all unnatural lusts, all unclean imaginations, thoughts, purposes, and affections, all corrupt or filthy communications, or listening thereunto, wanton looks, impudent or light behavior, immodest apparel, prohibiting of lawful and dispensing with unlawful marriages, allowing, tolerating, keeping of stews, and resorting to them, entangling vows of single life, undue delay of marriage, having more wives or husbands than one at the same time, unjust divorce or desertion, idleness, gluttony, drunkenness, unchaste company, lascivious songs, books, pictures, dancings, stage plays, and all other provocations to or acts of uncleanness, either in ourselves or others. And so as we note there, there's much to unpack, and we're going to spend a number of days doing so as we consider this summary expression from the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that, of course, is question number 70, given to us in the Shorter Catechism and also taken from God's moral law. It's a direct quote from Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. For today, I just want to consider the summary statement given that the seventh commandment forbiddeth all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. Some of this will be a little bit of a repeat from what we've already considered in the days previous. But we'll start in Matthew chapter 5. There in the Sermon on the Mount, we've looked at this verse already, so I'm not going to spend a great deal of time repeating things. But Ephesians 5, really beginning in verse 27, I'm going to read to the verse 30 and make some comments in reference to it. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. So we see from the words of the Savior here that this is a most important, serious issue. Now, of course, all sin before a holy God is serious. But some sins, by reason of several aggravations or consequences, are indeed more heinous in the sight of God than others. And adultery and sexual sin is indeed one of those sins that creates a great deal of, causes a great deal of consequence, very bad consequences. It breaks up homes and families. It causes great distrust. It destroys churches. It destroys lives. It destroys relationships. And so Jesus here in verse 27, he's picking up on the seventh commandment when he says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now the opposite then therefore is true, that if we are to look at a woman, and it's aimed at men mainly because men are more prone to this sin than women. Now this is not to say that women do not commit adultery. Of course they do, and obviously it takes two to commit adultery, and so, but men are more prone to fall in this area for any number of reasons. But Jesus aims his words at men. And here, because he says, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so the warning embedded here, Jesus offers it in one direction, one way, is that we must be very careful to guard our eyes and our heart that we do not commit adultery in this manner. Now, it is possible to look at another woman and recognize that she's attractive, recognize that she has been made in the image of God and God made her beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. That's natural for a man. To do that, to see that, to recognize that. It's unnatural, however, to cross the lines, go over the line, and begin to lust. That is to begin to conjure up in the mind a particular activities or behaviors that is unbecoming of a Christian man, any man at all. And so the weight of this matter is very serious. Jesus makes it very clear that if you cannot control yourself, then it would be better to tear out your eye or cut off your arm. Now, Jesus is not advocating masochism here. Masochism, that's harm to oneself. He is not advocating that. He is simply using this language to heighten the seriousness of the sin. It is a gross offense against a holy God and against our sister in the Lord and against our own body and our spouses to engage in this kind of behavior. And so Jesus heightens this issue and says this ought not be part and parcel of anyone who seeks to obey him as it relates to the seventh commandment. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, he mentions this as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, we read there, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." And so when you look at the answer to question 72, the things forbidden are unchaste thoughts, that's the lusting, and the engagement of the mind in unnatural things, words, and of course behavior. And Paul, of course, picks up on the behavior side when he says in verse 3, sexual immorality and all impurity or covetous must not even be named among you. Among who? Among Christians, amongst God's people. Now, it should not be named among in anyone's life. The moral law applies to every person, every individual made in the image of God. But Christians, of course, especially as imitators of God, should not be engaged in the behavior of sexual immorality and impurity. But he also goes on to talk about the speech and how our speech can break the seventh commandment when he mentions in verse 4, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place." And oftentimes, as I've mentioned already in a few editions ago, can engage in conversations that are crass. They're inappropriate. Some might refer to them as locker room talk, jokes that are off color. These kinds of things, they all violate the seventh commandment. And so while it's commonplace in our world for this to happen, as we witness it on TV programs and movies, and we witness these things, we hear these things, we hear them at work, we hear them in our circles, a circle of friends, and so forth. While that is certainly true, it should not be named amongst God's people. And so as we reflect on our own lives and our own conversations, our own thoughts, we must be mindful of these things that are forbidden. They're forbidden by a holy God. And he gives us these laws, of course, that we might be protected from our own selves, our own sinful depravity. And so we need to be mindful of these things. We need to be careful how we use our thoughts and our words and, of course, our behavior. For clearly, what is forbidden in the seventh commandment at the very root is the act of committing adultery, sexual sin. But it stems, something that it touches many different areas of our lives. And so we must be mindful of this, and we need to repent when we fall short of these things and look to Christ and seek forgiveness. He'll grant it, but we must put to death the deeds of the flesh in this area. They have brought great ruin to people over the years, and time does not afford me to give you an encyclopedia of all the people that have fallen miserably to this sin and how much damage it's done to God's people, to the church, to families, relationships, and otherwise. So let's be careful to be obedient. Ask for the Spirit's help as we think about these things. Well, I trust these times are a blessing and they're a help for you. I hope they are. And if they are, if you have any comments or questions, you can contact me. The way to do that is there before you on the screen. So until Thursday, when we continue looking at the things that are indeed forbidden in the seventh commandment using Larger Catechism 139, may the Lord help you today to walk with Him. God bless.